Welcome, and thank you for joining the National Multiple Sclerosis Society's MS Learn Online Internet Program. I'm Rick Turner, your host and medical correspondent. Multiple sclerosis affects not only the person with the illness, but everyone who cares about that individual. Learning to balance MS in relationships with immediate family, extended family, friendships, colleagues, and care partners is important to overall well-being. This webcast is the first of a two-part series that will help us realize positive relationships. Our guest expert for this series is Dr. Jude Meyer. Dr. Meyer is a clinical psychologist and a member of the medical staff at the Huga Center in Colorado. Welcome to MS Learn Online, Dr. Meyer.
Thank you so much, Rick.
Great to have you joining us. Now, the impact of MS is certainly felt by everyone in a family. What skills or traits do you see in families that live with MS that encourage positive relationships?
I think the most important is always communication. Those families that are accustomed to talking about how they feel, to dealing with conflicts, to being flexible and open with each other before the MS do far better after MS because of the challenges of both the disease symptoms, the trauma of the diagnosis sometimes, and then the varying roles that change after the diagnosis of MS.
So can we assume that the flip side is true as well, that those families that don't have good communicative skills may have some problems with relationships?
Absolutely, Rick. I think when families tend to withdraw, and of course, I need to add that everyone has a different response at a different moment to, for instance, a diagnosis of MS. A child may ignore the diagnosis, one may become very worried, a care partner may feel overwhelmed, the person with MS may feel like they're in shock. And so for a family to stay in touch with each other and continue to communicate is so essential. And without that, there isn't a way to understand how each person is experiencing the process of adaptation to MS as it impacts them.
Right. And communication, we should say, isn't an absolute yes or no, black or white, because there are degrees of communication. And we're going to talk about that when it comes to the issue of disclosure here, because in many relationships, you have the choice of whether or not you want to tell people that you have MS, which we call disclosure. And I would imagine that disclosing is an individual decision within each relationship. What are your thoughts on disclosure, Dr. Meyer?
I think it's a very important topic in which there are no absolutes, particularly because MS can manifest in a person being invisibly ill so that no one knows they have MS. And many times those people choose to tell only the people closest to them. But it may also impact one's abilities in the world, and one may need to ask for more help at work or with friends. So disclosing is a delicate topic, and I think very individual in how it's handled.
And where do you recommend people get advice on making that decision to disclose or not to disclose?
I think it's important to involve the closest folks. I have seen couples that have only told each other about the MS, and that has somewhat isolated them. I think also that the person who has MS has to be ready to talk about having the MS. In the circles of those of us who work with MS, we talk about a newly diagnosed person as someone who has had MS within 2 years. This is a long process of getting accustomed to the idea of how MS is going to affect one's life. And it may be that there's a period of time in which privacy is very important to accustom the person with MS and the caregiver, the care partner, to what's going to come before disclosing to the world or the workplace.
Is it fair to say there's the concept of being in the closet at some point with MS?
Absolutely. And I think that's a right to privacy. I don't think that people need to disclose any more than they're comfortable with, because this can become a very delicate issue within any relationships. Some people don't know how to ask about the MS and may withdraw. Some people are very intrusive. They have all sorts of treatment plans, things that they want the person with MS to do. And while well-intended, I think the person with MS has to be able to respond even to the well-intended intrusive person.
And you're talking about that secondary disclosure issue, which is how much to tell, because all relationships need some sort of boundaries. And yet I wonder if some people, such as you were saying, well-meaning parents or good friends, ask more than a person is willing to share, or even vice versa. The person with MS is sharing more than another person feels comfortable with. Are there some ways to help create appropriate boundaries in relationships where chronic illness, such as MS in this case, is a factor?
Yes, I think it's very important for the person with MS to talk through with significant others, with professionals, the stance they want to take with the other people in their lives. And what I mean by that is the person with MS can say, please don't take my temperature every time I see you. A woman who had been both pregnant and diagnosed with MS said to me that in both conditions, it became the total focus of everyone around her, so that she couldn't go anywhere without someone asking about her pregnancy or her MS. And she took the lead to say, let me tell you how I'm doing. If I'm having a hard day, I'll be happy to share that. But I would rather that not be the focus of our relationship. I think also with care partners, they often get ignored. And I want to emphasize this, because a care partner's needs can become very secondary in the crisis of a diagnosis or an exacerbation. And I think for care partners to also be clear about what they're needing in relation to the MS and the person that they care deeply about, and to be saying to those in the world, you know, ask me how I'm doing. I worked with a man once who said that his name had become How's Marjorie? And no one asked, but what about you? So I think in terms of creating boundaries, it's also opening boundaries as well as keeping them permeable but much more closed within a family setting.
And what you're describing, Dr. Meyer, does it also apply to people who are constantly coming up with what they think are helpful suggestions about what medication to try or which particular doctor to see?
Absolutely. And I think people come to their one sentence answer, something to the effect of, you know, thank you for your suggestion, but I have a treatment plan with my physician that I'm very comfortable with. And I think that's a nice way to sort of close the discussion, because there are so many different treatments and popular fads that come up. And I think in trying to be helpful, sometimes people are overwhelming the person or the family with MS.
And Dr. Meyer, once you have disclosed MS in a relationship, there's an education piece that needs to happen, isn't there?
Yes, but I have a caveat about that. I think about educating people in concentric circles. And what I mean by that is, if you sort of visualize the solar system, there are the people that are the closest to you, and keeping them apprised of what is going on with the MS, going together to understand and learn about MS, have shared understanding, shared language to utilize. All of that is very important in that inner circle. And that's also a choice as to who's in that inner circle. But I do not think that people with MS have an obligation to educate everyone around them. That's emotionally exhausting.
I would think that would be a huge burden.
It is a huge burden. And so I think that the people who are further out from the concentric circle, they do not need to be educated. And what actually happens is most people know someone who has had MS, and whatever the course of their disease, that person assumes that that is what MS looks like. Of course, the course of MS is widely divergent.
Yes.
And to explain all of that, I think, is an added burden for the person with MS to those people who are at the outer edges of the concentric circle.
I guess you could just direct people to a website.
That's right. National MS Society website. Precisely. And I do suggest that people do that, that there are wonderful ways to become educated, and the person with MS doesn't have to be at the forefront of that.
Well, this is all the time we have today, but we look forward to having you back with us, Dr. Meyer, for our second and final webcast when we'll continue our discussion on positive relationships. Thanks again.
Thank you, Rick.
The National MS Society is proud to be a source of information for you about multiple sclerosis. Our comments are based on professional advice, published experience, and expert opinion, but do not represent individual therapeutic recommendation or prescription. For specific information and advice, consult a qualified physician. If you have a question that was not addressed, please email us at mslearnonline@nmss.org. If you'd like more information on multiple sclerosis, click on the resources link on your screen or call the chapter nearest you for an answer to your question. You can reach your chapter by calling 1-800-FIGHT-MS. That's 1-800-344-4867. You may also want to check the National MS Society's website, where you'll find more information about today's topic and a menu of other webcasts available to participate in. Funding for this program was provided as an unrestricted educational grant from Avenir Pharmaceuticals. For the National MS Society, I'm Rick Turner, wishing you health and happiness.